Praise the Lord. Thank you, my brother. Hey, today let's talk about determination. And you know what? When I think of the word determination, one person comes to my mind in particular, and that's Gary Owens. Most of y'all know Gary. His company is called Determination Transportation. Gary is paralyzed from the waist down and drives an 18-wheeler. He owns and operates his own truck. He has his own authority. Gary overcome major obstacles and kept on driving after a horrendous crash that left him paralyzed from the waist down. But you know what? Not only did that not stop him, it don't seem to even slow him down. Gary is such an inspiration to me because of his determination. Now, we want to look at determination from a couple of different angles today, and one of which is God determines our life by the plan He has set aside for us. And He has a plan, Mr. and Ms. Tucker. He has an individual, unique plan for every one of us. That's why He made us uniquely different. They say there's no two snowflakes alike. There's no two people alike. As you know, if you watch much CSI, DNA. Everybody's DNA is different. Because God made you uniquely different. You don't need to be like somebody else. I used to say when I first got saved, there was it was in Dublin, Georgia, of course, and there was this preacher that came over there from Wrightsville and preached at our church every now and then. And boy, I just loved Brother Charles. I loved to hear him preach. And I said one day in front of one of the deacons of the church, I said, Brother Gene, someday I want to be a preacher just like Brother Charles and Brother Clyde, our pastor. And Gene told me something I will never forget. Gene Young down in Dublin, Georgia, he said, Joe, God doesn't need another Charles or another Clyde. He wants a Joe. And that's what I tell everybody. You know, that made a big influence in my life. And I began to say, well, Lord, use me for your glory. Whatever it is you have for me to do, let me have the wisdom and to be smart enough to follow your lead. You know, just because God has a plan determined for our life isn't proof that it's going to happen, because He leaves the decision to you and me. That's right. Because the reason I know that is I made the wrong decision several times. And you have too. Don't look at me like that. I know that because you're human. Human beings fail. But God's grace is sufficient. God's grace will keep us. There's a saying that says God will never lead us where His grace won't keep us, you know. But He leaves the decisions to us. We live with the results or the ramifications of our decisions throughout our life, you know. But because we're humans, when something goes wrong, we want to blame somebody else, don't we? We always want to blame somebody else, and oftentimes we blame God. Why did God do this to me? You know, I have heard that 1,000 times or more. Why did God take my job? Why did God do this? Why did God do that? And a lot of times, the things happen to us because of things in our life. I remember in 1987, leaving TA Atlanta in our car. There was a lady there that wanted to go to the airport. And some of you have heard this story before. And, of course, because it was a lady, I wasn't going to take her by myself. Called my daughter Julie and said, I'm going to come pick you up, and you ride with me to take this lady to the airport. And this little still voice in my mind and in my heart said, don't leave. Don't leave. And, of course, you know me. I know better, Dad. I took off. I left. And I was in such a big hurry, got to the end of the driveway, looked both ways, nobody coming, pulled out, and a woman come flying around the curve, hit me in the left front of the car, knocked the car all the way sideways, turned me a 90-degree angle from the way I was going, and tore the car all to pieces. And, in fact, my head hit the window hard enough. I had a mild concussion. But as soon as that happened, I remember hearing that still small voice say, I told you not to leave. You see, God knew that was there. He knew that woman was coming. He warned me. and I didn't accept it. I didn't do what he told me. I didn't listen to that voice. And you say, well, I've never heard God speak. Oh, yes, you have. Oh, yes, you have. You may use the term, something told me. Well, that something, or you may say, I was led to do so and so. All kind of terms that we all use. But when that something, let me tell you something, Mr. Miss Trucker, that something is either you, God, or Satan. Now, again, we have to learn to follow the leadership of God. And sometimes things can look awful, awful bad in our life, just like with Gary here. You know, Gary was faced with a career-ending accident. I mean, he was paralyzed and is paralyzed from his waist down. Most of us would say, well, not only will he not walk again, he can't drive a truck anymore. He's going to have to find something else he can do. Well, no, he didn't. He was determined to overcome this thing. And Mr. and Ms. Trucker, you see, when obstacles come our way, they are sometimes just tests that God allows. Now, let me say something on that. God doesn't tempt you, but he'll test you. Sometimes he starts taking our security. Sometimes he'll pull our security back and just see how we'll react. Do we love him as much when things are tough as we say we do when things are going good? I wonder. Do we start to turn our back on him and blame him with things? Or do we say, Lord, no matter what, I'm going to serve you today? Let me tell you something again. Some of you know about this, but again, I feel led to share this. One of Julie, our daughter, one of her best friends was named Chloe Heron. A few years ago, we lost Chloe at the age of about 36 to cancer. Chloe loved the Lord with all of her heart. Her and Paul, her husband, served God in the church, Southside Christian Fellowship, where Jan and I used to be a member, where Pastor Eddie Mason still is, and they still support Truck Stop Ministries, but Chloe developed cancer. The only problem was Chloe was pregnant at the time. And it was determined that she had to carry the baby before they could start treatment. Well, they were supposed to start treatment right after the birth of a beautiful baby. But something happened that didn't get started right away. And lo and behold, Chloe got pregnant again. They went to the doctor. And Paul was sharing this with me. Paul is her husband. And Paul said they was at the doctor. And she said, what are my options? And the doctor says, you have no options. You must abort the baby so you can take your treatments to live. Paul said she didn't even hesitate. She said, that is not an option. We will not abort the baby. And the doctor said, if you don't, you will die. And she said, well, we will not abort the baby. And she carried that baby 9 months, and by then the cancer had spread. She had a natural birth. The baby was born fine. But then it was too late to do anything with the cancer. And you know what? A few weeks after the birth of the baby, we lost Chloe. She went home to be with the Lord. Now, number one, God didn't cause the cancer. He allowed it, yes. Why? We don't know. We don't know. If I knew that, I'd be up there with God. And you don't know either. God does things or allows things sometimes to happen. But what I wanted to say about that is I will never forget when we went to Chloe's celebration. We celebrated Chloe's life, not her death. It wasn't a funeral. It wasn't sad. We were heartbroken because we had temporarily lost Chloe. But let me tell you something, folks. When the service started, the first song that was sung is How Great is Our God. And I can hardly talk about it even now. I see this in my mind. What was going on was Paul, her husband, was standing at the head of the casket with his hands up in the air, worshiping and praising God, singing How Great is Our God. Now listen, that's walking the walk, folks. Like Gary, it's walking the walk, not just talking the talk. When Paul can stand there, and he had to have questions in his mind, his heart, he's a human. He had to have questions about why didn't Chloe live, you know. we lost our little granddaughter, you know, last year. If you're a human being, you're going to have questions, and that's okay. That's okay. How many times has Joey and Julie, our children, questioned a decision that Jan or I made when they were growing up? And that's okay, because they don't understand what you're saying as an adult, as a leader. Sometimes God makes decisions, and he says, just trust me. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing. Sometimes he has to prune us. Sometimes he prunes us right down to the quick, as we say. Man, it hurts. I didn't want to go through that. Lord, I didn't want that. A lot of times we want the crown without a cross. And my friend, it just doesn't work like that. That will never happen. And you know, I have made up my mind that no matter what, God give me the strength. As he gives me the strength, and only he can. Only he can do it. I can't do it on my own. I don't want to sound like some faith giant, because I'm not. I'm not. I just happen to know that God's word is true. I've been asked many times, Chaplain Joe, do you believe the Bible's true? And I say, no, I sure don't. And of course, they look at me like you're doing right now. What do you mean you don't believe that? I don't believe it. I know it. You see, I have seen it in operation, and I have seen it when we were in, Jan and I would be in the darkest, deepest valley of different kinds, different situations that we didn't know. We were in our flesh, we want to cry out, why God? What's going on? But we don't do that because our spirit man, that is the Holy Spirit of God in us as Christians, and you have, if you're born again, you have the same Holy Spirit. Every one of us has the same Holy Spirit with the same power available to us. And that Holy Spirit wells up inside and says, it's okay. It's going to be okay. There was a song that said, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. You know, I remember standing at the foot of our precious little Maggie's bed and watching her slip into eternity. And I couldn't do anything about it. And I heard this little voice in my head say, where is your God now? Where is your God that you brag about all the time? Now you're in trouble. What are you going to do? And your prayers are not being answered. But you see, he stopped short of the truth when that little voice, which was obviously the enemy, obviously Satan, trying to put doubt in my mind, he stopped short. He said, your prayers aren't answered. Yes, they are. Yes, they were being answered right then, just not the way I wanted them. How many times have you had prayer that wasn't answered like you wanted it to be? And you may not understand it. You may still not understand the situation that you've gone through. But let me tell you something, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. One thing is for sure, God is always right. Now, it doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I hear. It doesn't matter what I think or what I feel or anything. I know, as the little lady said, I know down in my knower, I know that the Word of God can't be wrong. You know what? When it seems like it's wrong, remember, it can't be wrong. You remember that old thing about the boss is all right, always right? And then step two, if the boss is wrong, remember step one? The boss, God Almighty, cannot be wrong, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. You understand that? Think about that. He absolutely, positively can't be wrong. When things go wrong in our life or don't go the way we want them to, when we seem like we are faced with insurmountable problems that we can't get around, we can't get over, we can't work through, remember, God is doing a work in your life and in my life. No, I don't like the war that comes. No, I don't like the attacks that come. But you know what, Mr. and Ms. Trucker? Ephesians 6 talks about the full armor of God. Read that sometime. Ephesians 6, 12 through about 17. And it talks about putting on the full armor of God. It starts out by saying, put on the full armor so that when the day of evil comes. Not if, but when the day of evil comes. Isaiah 43 says, when you walk through the river, you'll not drown. When you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. Listen, Mr. Miss Tucker, you will not be consumed by it, it says. It might burn a little bit, but you won't be consumed by it. You won't drown in the flood that comes in life because God is walking beside you. Read that sometime. I was full of fear. Now, when I say fear, I'm talking about, claustrophobia. Man, if a black cat run across the street in front of me, Jan, I tell you, I about have a heart attack. And walking under a ladder, I ain't going to do it. I'm talking about those kind of fears in my life. Always afraid we was going to lose out. Afraid of this, afraid of that. And thank God, one day he showed me Isaiah chapter 43. And if you got fear in your life, let me tell you, go to Isaiah 43 and read it, and read it, and read it, and read it, especially the first 7 or 8 verses, until it becomes a part of your being, until it permeates your mind, that I know I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, how could he say that? The rest of the sentence tells us, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And it goes on to say that he prepares a table in the presence of mine enemies. In other words, in the middle of the storm, God is already preparing a refuge. He's already prepared a place for you. He's already prepared a way of escape. You see, in Isaiah 50 verse 7, it says, for the Lord will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know I will not be ashamed. In other words, I know I don't have to be ashamed of what's going on in my life because God's doing the work. God's doing the work. And to the best of my ability, I'm serving him. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So therefore, I have no reason to be ashamed just because I'm going through a trial. Some of you have had children who had children out of wedlock, But listen, while you're being ashamed, thank God they didn't murder them. Thank God they didn't go and abort your grandchild. Thank God for that. No, we don't want that to happen in our children's life. We want everything to be all right all the time. Again, we want the crown without the cross, but it's never going to happen. And listen, when you're a threat to the enemy, listen, when you become a threat to the enemy will fight back. I remember at being in the 1st Cav Division in Vietnam, we got up north, up to the city of Hue, spelled H-U-E, Hue, and we began to do an assault. I say they. I personally was not involved, but our helicopters, our gunships were involved, and going along the river, these so-called fishermen was hauling ammunition because they'd fire on one of those boats and it would explode. And they would stop, they literally stopped the supply of the enemy that was using the river to resupply. And because of that, the enemy began to fight back. The enemy started coming at us with everything they had. Well, we're in a war now. We're in a spiritual war. And I don't want to bust your bubble, but it's never going to end till Jesus comes back, till he raptures us out, till he takes the church out of this sin-sick world we live in. Man, we're about to have an election this year. It's time to elect the president again. I know what I'm praying will happen, but at the same time, I'm praying, Lord, your will be done. Remember Jesus' prayer in the garden? Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. We can say that, and that's okay to pray that. Lord, get me out of this situation. I really don't want to hurt like this. I really don't want this pressure. I really don't want this battle. But what I really want, Lord, is your will done in my life, no matter what. No matter what, your will be done. That's what he said in the garden. Father, let this thing pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Can you say that today? Can I say that from my heart? Oh, it's easy to say it today. because there's not a major obstacle in my life. There's not a major crisis right now, but 15 minutes from now, that may change. It may change in a minute. It could change quicker than I could snap my finger. But I still know. I know that I know that I know. Paul said, I know and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. I know he can't fail. He will never leave me. Hebrews 13 says, he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. It also says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isaiah was saying, I'm going to set my face like a flint. I know I will not be ashamed. And said, what he's really saying is, in my opinion, he's saying that no matter what I go through, I'm not going to be ashamed of serving God, and I will not give up. Man, I remember in 1979, I made some bad business decisions. As a result, my truck and trailer sit right side of Moreland Avenue up here. Some of you might even remember that. In the bank parking lot, foreclosed. It was actually for sale by owner, but they sold it and registered as a repo, which it wasn't, but needless to say, I lost that battle too. I lost a whole bunch of money in that deal, and the reason I lost it because I didn't listen to God. He had a plan to take me through the valley, and what I chose to do was a quick exit. I wanted to get out of there. I didn't want no more of the cross. I wanted the crown. Let's get on with life. Let's, you know, get rid of this one, go get a job driving another one. No, that wasn't God's will. Looking back, of course, once I'm out of the valley, I can look back at the valley. You know, I got 20/20 hindsight. I don't know about you, but I can sure look back and say what I should have did. I live a lot of my life after that incident saying what I should have did, you know. But you can't do that. But I look back and I remember that same still small voice that was leading me saying, don't sell out. Don't give up. Keep going. I'm on your side. I'm going to take care of you. And by the same token, in your case, that still small voice might tell you to sell out. It might tell you to get out of the truck, sell it, go home, whatever. But in that, he will not lead you to do something that's not morally sound, that's not legally right. He's not going to do that. See, he has promised over and over and over and over again in the Word of God to take care of you. See, he adopted us as his children. Thank you, Jesus. We never had nothing growing up, hardly, you know, but love. My mama had a lot of love, and she taught me about God and all that. But I guess you say materially, we didn't have much of nothing. And of course, when I got in the world, I went after that. I couldn't see living my life for God, talking about in the sweet by and by. What I didn't know was what I was to come to find out later in life after running amok for quite a while, running in sin and almost having my marriage destroyed, almost destroying my life through drugs and junk. What I've come to find out was God has a plan for my life. In fact, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Wow! Wow! God has a mind-blowing blessing for you. Now, that don't necessarily mean you're going to come into a lot of money. That don't necessarily mean you're going to be at a big house somewhere. That don't necessarily mean that your troubles are over. But he's got a gigantic ministry for you to do. Yes, indeed. We're putting together a program right now that will help you develop your own personal ministry. We're going to have missionary drivers out there with credentials to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. We want to support you on the road, but we want people that have determination. Determination. I want men and women of God, both of you. I want to meet men and women of God that says, no matter what, I'm going to go through with Jesus no matter what. I won't give up. I remember after losing the truck and my business, and ultimately I lost our home and our property and had to move and rent a mobile home and start all over again. And praise God, God didn't give up. Jerry Benson sings a song that says he didn't throw the clay away. And I'm so glad, hallelujah, he didn't throw the clay away just because it didn't turn into the pretty vessel to start with. What he does, you know, I can see in my mind when we were over in Israel watching the potters do their thing with the wheels, and if it don't come out right, he'd take his fist and pound it down to nothing. Reshape it. Start over again. And Mr. and Ms. Trucker, if we will give God the opportunity, he will reshape our life into what he wants it to be. Now, you may not be intentionally doing anything wrong. You may not know that you're out of his will. Sometimes we start deviating from what he wanted us to do, and ultimately we get out of his will and out of from his blessing. All the while, he's got us by the nape of the neck trying to pull us back and say, hold on, hold on. We need to do some reshaping here. You know, and you say, well, I can't handle that. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Because Paul again wrote to the Philippian people, and to the church at Philippi there, in chapter 4, verse 13, a very familiar topic, a very familiar scripture, I should say. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all things. There is nothing that you can't do, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. If you have determination, if you make up your mind, if you set your face like a flint, Isaiah said, if you decide that no matter what, you see, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? In other words, you got a report, like right now, the Wall Street is going down. Financial, big institutions are in trouble. Big companies are in trouble. And those that follow the Lord's leading are going to come out. They're going to come out stronger than ever. But you know, we've got a report that says that the whole world's in a mess. And John Starnes used to sing a song, this world is in a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. And he said, the song says, I've never been this homesick before. And you know, I'm homesick for heaven, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, but we still got a lot of work to do. There's still a lot of work to do here on earth. And until the trumpet blows, we will keep on working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, what it takes is sheer determination and deciding, I have decided. What's that old song? I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, no matter what, come what may, I won't turn back. Because you see, you're not running on your own. You're right. You can't do it. I can't do it. Alone, we can do nothing. But remember what Paul said? I can do everything. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And again, who has believed our report? Isaiah 53:1. Let me paraphrase that a little bit, if I may. Whose report will you believe? Will you believe the world's report that says all Christianity is going downhill, that it's a has-been religion, that it's all wrong and bad? Will you subscribe to that? Or will you go with what the Bible says, that we shall overcome? In fact, all of Satan and all of his work was defeated when Jesus come out of that tomb. You know, Muhammad died, Confucius died, Buddha died, Jesus died, and only Jesus lives today. Only Jesus was raised from the dead by the Father. He had to go through all that to buy our salvation. You see, your sins and mine, past, present, and future, all of our blunders, all of our mistakes, Jesus took to the cross with him. He took it there. He said, it is finished. It's done. It's over. And I have paid the price. I'm paying the price with my own blood to not only cover the sins. You see, in the Old Testament, the sacrifice of the goats and the sheep and the animals, the birds and the whatever, covered the sin. Jesus' blood eliminated sin. You see, in Hebrews 8:12, he said, I will remember your sins and iniquities no more. Mr. and Ms. Trucker, Satan will never let you forget it. That's why we lose our zeal. We lose our determination sometimes because Satan is always reminding you of the sin in your past. I know he does me. I was born again December the 19th, 1971. That's been a long time ago. And he still reminds me and accuses me of things I did before that. You know? But you know what? I remind him of his future. He reminds me of my past. I remind him of his future. And pardon the grammar, but he ain't got none. Satan, that old lying, deceiving, the Bible calls him a deceiver. Jesus in John 8:44 called him a liar and the father of all lies. He is trying to deceive you. He's trying to get you to give up and quit. He's trying to get you to quit on God, just short of the victory. We're almost home, folks. Hang on. Now, you say, well, when, Chaplain Joe? I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be another minute, another 100 years. I don't know. I really don't see 100 years like this, but then I don't know. I don't know. I want to live each day as if every hour was going to be my last hour on earth, but I plan for the future as if I'm going to be here for many more years. You know, I plan my life because I believe God wants us to do that, prepare. But spiritually, I live as if today, this hour, would be my last hour on earth. Determination, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, and everyone listening to this teaching today, I pray that you're more determined now than you've ever been. I pray that you will dig into the infallible, inerrant Word of God and face, turn your face like the flint. In other words, say, I'm going to make it. You know, the Bible refers us to us as eagles. In Isaiah, it says, you know, you shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know what they say that an eagle does in a storm? The eagle doesn't fly away from the storm. The eagle flies towards the storm. And I'm told by someone I believe knows what they're talking about, that eagle locks his wings in the climb position and flies straight into the storm and uses the storm to elevate him up above it. Now, while we're running from the storm, which we'll never outrun, we're defeating our purpose. We charge the storm, and with God's help, with God's power, with God's strength, and we tithe and we give and we plant and we sow, because we do everything the Bible teaches us to do, then it's up to God to bring it to pass, to make it all work out. Again, according to his perfect timing, in his perfect way, he has a perfect plan for your life. Mr. and Ms. Trucker, all he asks you today, and everyone listening, all he's asking from us is determination. I have decided to follow Jesus, the Bible says. Mr. and Ms. Trucker, I pray today that you decide today, rededicate your life. If you need prayer, call the prayer line number that's on this CD, the 800 number, somebody answer it 24 hours a day. Call and let somebody pray with you. If you're just discouraged, you say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't need to be saved. Well, if you just need encouragement, give us a call. Let us pray with you about that. If you're down and out, if you're in a storm, if you're in a trial, if you're in a testing period, let us stand up under your arms, so to speak, and help you walk through that valley of the shadow of death. You know, light at the end of the tunnel is Jesus Christ. It's not a freight train coming the other way. You will win because God says so. It may be a long carried out thing, but we're guaranteed to win because we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, just pray this simple prayer. Or if sin has come back into your life, if there's sin in your life that you know is wrong, the things you're doing is wrong, say, Lord Jesus, that's right, repeat it with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I'll pray. I believe your word's true. And help me be more determined today than I've ever been in my life. Give me the strength to go through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that you're going through it with me. In Jesus' name I pray and believe it and receive it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Mr. and Ms. Trucker, if you need prayer, call the prayer line. If you prayed that with me and said, become a Christian today, call us and let us know. Until next time, I'll be with you in the spirit, be praying for you. We love you, praise God for you, and I'll see you here, there, or in the air.